Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
So long, 2023. Stink year. I'm on that new shit now. It already feels different, doesn't it? The energy.
Does it?
Of the year. We're 3 days in.
I guess I'm not as observant of energy as you.
Oh, yeah. The energy is hitting good this year. The solar energy and lunar.
Oh, okay. All right.
Stellar. Uh-huh. All of the celestial bodies are aligned throughout all of 2024.
Yeah.
And we're all pretty stoked about that. I actually don't have a great feel for the year so far because we're only 3 days into it, but I feel healthy and strong.
Okay.
Don't you think stronger than ever?
Do I think that you are stronger than ever?
Yes.
I haven't really seen you demonstrate it yet. Okay, that seemed like strength was involved.
I didn't pick up the desk, but it moved a lot. 2024, what if that's the year I get strong? Like, really strong?
I mean, I think you will.
Oh, wow. Now that I... hold on, wait. It changed. The energy changed when you
stronger.
Said
stronger.
Okay. No, yeah, I could probably get that. Honestly, the bar is pretty low right now.
I've seen you lift a weight.
Yeah, sure.
And if you keep doing that,
yeah.
I have a feeling.
I'll get strong, you get fast. You're already so fast. Sometimes we go to the gym together, and I watch you on the treadmill, and it's fucking incredible.
I mean...
your legs become invisible because of how quickly they rotate. You're like Wile E. Coyote or Roadrunner. He's actually the fast one
of the pair. If you call the ability to run at a speed of 8 miles an hour very fast.
That's good.
But here's the thing. I do it for at most 1 minute.
Yes. I mean, even that's pretty good. I mean, that's more than I could do.
Okay.
Do you have any small wonders to start the year off right with now, please?
I'm going to say like a successful... a lengthy drive in the car with children.
Yes.
We don't really put our kids in the car for longer than 30 to 40 minutes at any given time. But for Christmas, we make that drive to Huntington, which is 6 hours if you are, you know, never stopping.
Yes.
And it went well.
It went really good there and back. And then we went to beautiful Lexington, Virginia for New Year's, which is a 3-hour drive. We did so much carting around,
yeah.
And the kids were amazing.
Yeah. I mean, they don't love it. They're not excited about it, but they hang in there.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah. My what I don't enjoy is going on a road trip with kids and then it doubles the length of the drive because you have to stop constantly. But I am also guilty of requiring more stops on road trips than the children do, just because of the way that my sort of infrastructure works.
Uh-huh. But 2024.
Stronger than ever. No more.
Strong bladder.
I won't pee anymore. I'm phasing it out.
Can I tell you one of my other thrills about road trips too, is
that
that you don't have to go through TSA. So you can put any size fluid in your luggage. And I still get a thrill. I'll bring a whole bottle of shampoo just because I can.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
It's exciting.
It's very exciting. I'm going to say we have dipped into Taskmaster again. We haven't watched that show in a long time. And we just started watching the, I guess, most recent series 16, and it's fucking great. It is so good. It is so, so funny. It's got, Sue Perkins, former host of Great British Bake Off.
Yeah.
And a suite of other comedians who are just incredible.
Yeah.
So we are, I think, 3 episodes into that. It's sort of a dead zone right now. There's no...
Yeah.
There hasn't been a hockey game in a few days, and all of our favorite sort of TV shows are off the air. So Taskmaster has been coming in for us in the clutch.
Yeah.
I go first this week.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about some music I've been really jamming to, really grooving to. Here in 2024, and that is an artist by the name of Hannah Diamond. I will say one of my main goals for the beginning of this year is to splinter off my Spotify account from the devices through which our children access Spotify.
Yeah.
Because it has rendered my algo fully useless
yeah.
in terms of discoverability. My Discover Weekly playlist, which I did a whole segment on.
Yeah, you used to really benefit from that.
Is now just like Hot Dog Toilet Song and Pee Pee Poo Poo Man and just like a bunch of really just songs that I would say don't really appeal to me necessarily.
Yeah.
I can't fault Spotify for thinking I'm deeply into Pee Pee Poo Poo Man because of just sort of the way that the algorithm has been fed by our children.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to try and take it back because the main issue with this is that I ended up missing a lot of big sort of new releases from artists whose work I enjoy. Last year, there's a Wednesday Campanella album I've been dipping into. I've also talked about her stuff. That is absolutely great. But today I want to highlight one such album released in late 2023, an album called Perfect Picture by Hannah Diamond. Hannah Diamond is a musician and visual artist whose shit I got really into in 2016, back when I was really active on SoundCloud. SoundCloud, I'm so like off of it now that I don't know like what the ecosystem is like now, but it was like this really great system for very indie artists to be discovered and streamed and sort of acquire a fan base through them. And a lot of the stuff was really sort of like experimental and rough and ready. So back in 2016, I got really into her stuff. She's part of a label called PC Music, which is, I think, personal computer and not
politically correct
music.
Yeah.
PC Music is a British art collective with a lot of hyperpop sort of acts like Hannah Diamond in it. A lot of the acts have what Wikipedia refer to as cyber culture personas, very sort of like hyper real characters almost that are influenced by early sort of internet culture of the late 1990s and the early aughts, which is now over 20 years old, so old now that it is like reasonable to be kind of nostalgic for that era. And I think a lot of the stuff that PC Music has under it kind of covers that. But the music that Hannah Diamond used to put out was like very pared back, I would say kind of lightly produced songs that were just little indie gems. She has a song called High that's all about waiting for your crush to send you a message on AOL Instant Messenger, which I think like really captures the aesthetic that she's going for. Last year, though, she put out this new album, Perfect Picture, her first album in a long time, which is this huge evolution of her whole sort of sound and vibe. The songs sound like much bigger and much more ambitious while not sort of losing that whole early 2000s internet aesthetic that her early stuff was known for. Like the title track, Perfect Picture, which is about how you sort of present yourself through these like super manicured public photographs. So here's a clip from that song.
Every time the light hits you, a photograph is never true to life. Sometimes it's hard to live up to the perfect lie. I'm permanently frozen in.
So I'm a sucker for like this like early internet culture vibe. I don't know if it hits you quite as hard.
You know what? And I didn't want to say anything before you played the clip because I didn't want to influence the way people listen to it. But it gives me more recent like Carly Rae Jepsen vibes.
Carly Rae Jepsen is like, I would say, frequently alluded to in sort of like critical discussions about Hannah Diamond's work. I would say much more early Carly Rae Jepsen, like Call Me Maybe. There's this like,
yeah, but it's got that kind of like electronic influence, which she is doing more of recently, right?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I think she stepped away from that a little bit with, you know, what's the album? Is it Loneliest Time? I know Loneliest Time is on it. She's, you know, getting into her fucking Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, it's true.
sort of breezy California vibe. Whereas this is still very much, I don't know, in the early internet era vibe. But I would say that the sound of this album is I would say kind of reminiscent of Carly Rae Jepsen. The whole production of this album was taken to, I would say, a whole nother level with Hannah Diamond's collaboration with a US music producer named David Gamson. who I'd never heard of before, but I was looking into because the production on this album is incredible. He's been in the game forever. He started making electronic music in 1980 while attending Sarah Lawrence College. So pretty early pioneering stuff. Now he does sort of electronic music production for pretty huge names in pop music, like Kesha, Kelly Clarkson, Jessie J, Charlie XCX. His work is super like melodic and arpeggio heavy, which really aligns really well with Hannah Diamond's whole kind of like hyperpop cutesy music vibe. I don't say that to be dismissive or reductive. It's, I would say, a pretty good description of the stuff that she does. But I would say Hannah Diamond is also not on the same level of, you know, fame as Kesha or Kelly Clarkson or Charlie XCX. So it's cool to see, you know, this album be this pretty major escalation of the kind of stuff that she's making. And the result of this collaboration is just incredible. If you're a fan of Charlie XCX or Caro Caro Bonito or like so many other artists in that vein, Perfect Picture is going to be your jam, I think, as it has become mine. And I want to end with my favorite song off the album, which is called Affirmations, which is a really good anthem, I think, to start the year off with. It's just all about this printed out list of five affirmations that she keeps on her wall, which include lines like, I'm building my own world, and I'm a businesswoman and my own CEO. It is catchy as hell with a chorus that goes extremely hard. I can't stop listening to it. So I'm going to play a bit of Affirmations now. That's it, Hannah Diamond. Check it out. It's fun. It's a great album that I like listening to, and I also really like seeing an artist like grow from a level of not particularly like mainstream sort of success to like taking on more ambitious stuff and having it kind of you know, align itself with the work and the art that she was doing earlier in her much more independent days until now. She's still, I think, I mean, PC Music is not the biggest label, but yeah, you know what I mean. Check it out. Can I steal you away?
Yeah.
Okay. We all got needs. And to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service.
I keep receiving this huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe six things that I had completely forgotten about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep. And Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway, Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike, and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Lectric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at lectricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C e-bikes.com.
Hi, this is Lori Kilmartin.
And I'm Jackie Cation, and we have a podcast called The Jackie and Lori Show on Max Fun, and it's very exciting, because what do we talk about?
Comedy.
Stand-up comedy. We both do stand-up comedy and have since the dawn of
Christ. Well, Jackie.
Is that offensive?
It is offensive to me, because you've aged me. we started in the late 80s, and we're still here. You can't kill us.
So go to The Jackie and Lori Show on Max Fun and listen to that.
Jackie and Lori Show. New episodes Monday, only on MaximumFun.org.
The following are real reenactments of pretend emergency calls.
911. My husband! It's my husband!
Calm down, please. What about your husband?
He loads the dishwasher wrong. Please help! Please help me!
Where are you now, ma'am?
At the kitchen table. I was with my dad. He mispronounces words intentionally.
There are plenty of podcasts on the hunt for justice, but only one podcast has the courage to take on the silly crimes. Judge John Hodgman, the only true crime podcast that won't leave you feeling sad and bad and scared for once, only on MaximumFun.org.
Hey, Griffin.
Yes?
I want to slow things down a bit.
Okay.
With a cool glass of lemonade. Griffin knows.
I would have sworn on a stack of Bibles you were about to take us to the poetry corner.
Griffin knows I don't really do voices.
And I think this is a pretty good demonstration.
I haven't really decided what this voice is trying to do. And you can hear that in my voice as I change focus.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's very House of Cards asking. It's very Foghorn Leghorn.
Uh-huh.
And it's I'm going to need more of that.
I can't reproduce
you.
It.
It doesn't even have to be now. It doesn't even have to be for the podcast. Just like, you know. Maybe later when we're like having dinner or something, be like, can you pass me the peppercone?
Lemonade is my topic.
Okay.
This is something our children have gotten really into recently.
Yeah, specifically the small one demands lemonade and any number of vehicles.
And lemonade for him can mean really anything that is kind of a yellow color.
We have given him Gatorade that is yellow and been like, now this is lemonade.
Yeah. We have still successfully, I think, avoided caffeine with our children, and that doesn't leave you a lot of options outside of water and juice, but lemonade is a hit.
Henry has tried soda, and he said it tastes too spicy.
Yeah, I love that. Love how little kids think anything that has too much flavor is spicy.
Well, I think it's the effervescence. I think it's, you know, 6 years old, you don't have the kind of, like, vernacular to say, like, this is too bubbly for me. This is too carbonated, father. I said, they're like, this is spicy. It does weird things to my tongue. Spicy. Must be.
I also love lemonade. There was a period in my life where I think I've mentioned this before because I didn't have chocolate for a while, but that I avoided caffeine because I thought that there was some kind of allergic reaction happening to it, and there was.
You didn't think that necessarily.
No. One doctor said
one
that.
One doctor.
And
said
we really stuck with it.
Yeah.
And then I remember when I went to the doctor as like a middle school student, and they were like, oh, yeah, no, that's not it. That's not it.
No, you're fine.
And I was like, oh, huh.
Yeah.
Anyway, lemonade was a go-to, like Sprite and lemonade, great options for me.
Were you, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
But did you know that they changed Sprite?
No.
To Starry? Everybody was drinking
Sprite. Oh, I thought that was some kind of local thing.
No, that's like Sprite now, I guess.
Are you sure?
Or maybe it's Sierra Mist that they changed.
Anyway. Okay. Anyway.
That's fucking good.
I didn't have any.
Oh, that's good.
I thought it was just like one of those like Dr. Thunder situations.
No, it's like new Sprite.
Huh.
We'll get some.
Okay. Lemonade has obviously been around for a long time because essentially it's just lemon sugar water.
Lemon sugar. Can you please do it like Men in Black? Please.
Oh, man. I've explained this to Griffin where I can hear a voice in my head, yeah, and then what comes out of my mouth is so not that.
Just channel Vincent D'Onofrio in this one specific way.
Sure.
You're just going to do House of Cards again.
Sugar water.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Will you do it?
Sugar water.
God, it's so good.
Thank you.
How do you do that? What do you?
You actually can see me. Yeah, you do. Like, bring retract my skull in backwards.
Griffin's a real physical comedian.
That's that. Yeah.
Okay, so when we talk about like the history of lemonade, maybe not as we know it today, but like when it is first documented, we're talking about like Egypt. We're talking about like 13th century. It's obviously been around for a while.
It's weird to think about lemons existing in ancient times. To think about, you know, it seems like such a modern contrivance.
Yeah. Well, lemon. And you think about Egypt, I don't know what climate lemon trees need to grow. I didn't do that research. No. I don't think of Egypt as a place that is particularly temperate. But again,
we don't know anything.
We don't know anything.
I think we've
proven
on this show time and time again, we don't know a lot of stuff.
We research for a good hour and we feel confident about that. And then we make guesses.
It would be wild if you did know if Egypt had the kind of climate that would be suitable for lemons.
That is
grow.
Not something you learn in school.
No, absolutely not. In lemon class.
Lemonade, as we kind of know it now, started in Paris in 1630.
Ugh.
Apparently, there were vendors that sold it from tanks strapped to their backs.
I love that so much. Was there a cup, or would they just like open up their mouth and be like, oh.
I'm picturing like a camelback and then, yeah, just like a faucet and I imagine cups.
I'm envisioning like those tanks that like pest control like folks use to like spray around the house.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Ward off ants, except it's lemonade and the long nozzle of it just kind of blasts into your mouth directly. And you pay, you know, 5 francs per squirt.
Oh, no. Please don't let that be the title of the episode.
5 francs per squirt.
Britain came in the 1780s with the carbonation. There was a chemist who invented an apparatus for making carbonated water.
Spicy lemonade is what he
did. And then Johann Schwepp.
Does that sound familiar to you? Schwepps?
Yeah. Developed a method of carbonation using a compression pump that made mass production more efficient.
Of carbonated lemonade?
In the 1830s, Schwepp's fizzy lemonade. Was available to the public.
I never really rocked with that. The first carbonated lemon drink I think ever had was CC Lemon when we were in Japan, which fucking rips.
Yeah.
So many vitamins in that one. So much vitamin C.
You know, lemonade, if it has actual lemon in it, is a good source of vitamin C.
Sure.
But as you know, a lot of lemonade does not actually have lemon in it. Part of the reason lemonade became popular in the 18th century was the temperance movement, and lemonade was pushed as an alternative to alcohol.
I mean, I've drank some lemonade that is so good that it has induced a sort of euphoric effect. Back at Huntington Outdoor Theater, there used to be a vendor that would set up a tent at the very back of the theater, and they would have just the sugariest, sourest, fresh squeezed lemonade that you could ever imagine. And that shit would send me up into the rafters.
So part of this temperance movement, Sunkist had a slogan that was, goodbye to liquor, here's to lemonade.
Straightforward?
Just straightforward. No promises there.
Easy.
Just this was a thing and now it's gone and this is the new thing.
And then a warrior came marching over the dunes. It was Mike. And Mike said, why not both? Try my hard lemonade. You're going to fucking lose your mind.
Man, I forgot that that was a thing.
I mean, it was my dad's gateway drug. Yeah, I think it was as it was a lot of dad's gateway drugs into having two alcoholic beverages per year around the holidays usually was Mike's hard lemonade.
The last thing I will say about lemonade, from 1877 to 1881, the White House banned alcohol from all state dinners. President Rutherford B. Hayes was trying to court the Prohibition Party, and his wife, Lucy, who was a renowned teetotaler. Did I do it?
No. Teetotaler. Not teetotaler.
I was trying so hard to say it correctly.
I know. I love you so much because of the effort that you put into this show and everything that you do in your life. And I don't want to like ever stymie you or try to contain you in some way. But I can't get enough of the fact that this one word is your white whale.
This is my penguin. This is my penguin.
One day, you'll do it. And you'll just say it off like that guy's acting like a real teetotaler. And it'll be like a new era has dawned.
The problem is I think I used to know how to say it. And then I got really in my head
I think you did. That's exactly what just happened. I watched the synapses fire and then fire back. I watched the two lobes of your brain go like, no, 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 no. I got it. Let me handle this one. Tito Taylor. I think you said Tito Taylor.
That is how it started.
Great.
Which reminds me a lot of Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
As if there was another member of that family.
Of the Taylor family.
Uncle Tito.
I'm Uncle Tito of the Taylors. You're getting better. I'm saying this. You're getting better. The next time you try to say that word on the show, if this arc continues, you're going to fucking crush it, babe.
Anyway, his wife was named Lucy, and she was nicknamed Lemonade Lucy.
Okay.
Because of her push.
Pretty unfortunate. I wouldn't want that one in high school, I would say. Lemonade Lucy. That sounds, there's something there, don't you think?
I mean, I had a lot of unfortunate pronunciations and choices around my name.
Yeah.
So to me, that does not sound bad.
No, yeah. I mean, your point of comparison is pretty dramatic.
Yeah, Griffin sometimes talks about how people, what did they used to call you?
You know, Griffin Macaroni.
Yeah. Nothing.
It doesn't hold a candle to. I don't think people maybe don't know your.
No, I've mentioned it before. The real fans know my maiden name.
Yeah,
and I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah. All right. Who's Schlong? Rachel Schlonger.
Lemonade.
Lemonade. Love it. What's your favorite? What's your favorite? What's your go-to?
Oh man. Simply Lemonade is a good one.
Okay. Yeah. I find that since my consumption of the Chick-fil-A business's products has been dramatically reduced in years, I would say that was like where I got lemonade.
Yeah.
And I associated it with that so much.
I mean, I like it when it tastes like a real lemon. I'll say that. I don't really like it when you can tell it's just like a sugar water drink.
Now I will say I did like the Country Time. We used to have those canisters of Country Time powder.
No, us too. We were a big Crystal Lighthouse.
Yeah, we always Crystal Lighthouse.
Crystal
cool.
Lighthouse. That's my performer name.
We used to have like I feel like we just always had a pitcher of the Country Time powdered mixed lemonade in our refrigerator growing up at all times. So I do like that. I do also have a pretty unfond memory of drinking it out of an aluminum cup once, and that was bad. It was not advisable to drink a sour beverage like that out of an aluminum cup. It was like drinking a battery. do you want to know what our friends at home are talking
about?
Yes. Okay, good. Because here's Tim coming over the top rope with, my small wonder is the mistake everyone makes when we ring in the new year, accidentally writing the previous year on important papers. It's just funny to me how universal it is.
Oh, yeah.
I do like that.
I feel like I've been thinking about 2024 for a while.
Oh, wow.
So I've been ready to write this down.
There was an open house at Henry's school, and so all the parents had to sign in. And I was my first time seeing the date written out of like January 3rd, 2024. And I have to imagine every parent had the same reaction of just like immense gratitude to the parents who had signed the list before me for showing me the way, because I for sure would have fucked that up in a major way. I don't write checks anymore, which was my main sort of area.
I have one person that I write a check to, and it really keeps me, you know, in the game.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to write that check, and I have to, like, Google it. I don't have to Google it, but I feel like I do. Moa says, my small wonder, all those lanterns you release around New Year's. This is the second year we release them instead of fireworks, and not only are they beautiful, they're way less anxiety-inducing to send off. I've never done that before, but it looks so cool.
No, it does look cool. I guess it's probably easy enough to find those on the internet.
Yeah, probably. You probably make them as just paper and fire.
What would you call it? What terms would you type
paper
in?
Lantern? Flying?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? It needs to be able to, like, lift up into the sky.
Flying paper lantern up in sky like Tangled. Tangled lantern, paper but real. Tangled lanterns from Tangled but real in real life for flying.
Good.
And wishing.
I bet that would work.
That'll probably get you there. Thanks to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. And thank you to MaximumFun.org for having us on the network. We sure do appreciate you. They got a bunch of great shows on there. We listened to a lot of Stop Podcasting Yourself on our mini drives. And there's so much on there for you to go check out. We have a bunch of merch over at MacroMerch.com.
Oh my gosh, the shirt is out.
There is a new... three wolves inspired shirt howling in front of a moon, but instead of wolves, it's me and Justin and Travis, which is very good. I will say our naming of the year episode for Mabimbam is coming out.
I am halfway through it, so I still don't know what you picked.
You haven't hit the prestige yet, I would say, of the episode.
No.
So give that a listen. Just check out our stuff. We do streams on YouTube over the McRoy family. We got a bunch of stuff going on. And we hope you'll join us for a new year of content.
Of
mandated, legally mandated.
It's like the lowest bar you could set. Yeah. It is content. No one can say.
It exists.
No one can say it's not content.
No. No one can say that. Thank you so much. Just have a good January. That makes it sound like we're not going to do another episode this month. We will.
We'll be back next week.
So we'll see you then. Bye.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.